Cloud practitioners, you are now tuned into Cloud Tech Talks, your go-to cloud podcast from Amadeus Technologies. I'm back, Sindhu Priya, as your host for today again. In the line of cloud prodigies, we bring as guests to this podcast. We have with us today Errol Kawas, Director, EPAM Systems, to discuss another intriguing topic, strategies for multi-cloud cost optimization. Hello, Errol. Welcome to Cloud Tech Talks.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for asking, Errol. Thank you for your time with us today. Looking forward to hear more on this topic.
Sure. I'd love to talk more about give some insights how we can overcome our cost burden on multi-cloud.
Great to know. So listeners, Errol is a seasoned cloud and DevOps professional with over 20 years of experience in the tech industry, spanning across AWS, GCP, and Azure. He has mentored hundreds of professionals in transitioning their careers to cloud, DevOps, and IT. He's an author, an active voice in the community, running multiple newsletters and daily posts, uniquely with a touch of humor. I'm already a fan of his. Errol, let's begin to talk about the actual topic. So sure. According to the State of Cloud Report 2024 by Flexera, Errol, 89% of the respondents said that they use multi-cloud for various reasons. So what do you see as the key drivers behind this rapid uptake?
You know, there are many key drivers, but the main topics are depending on your requirements, especially if you have some third-party software, you know, when they're locked into a specific cloud provider, then your enterprise start to adopt another cloud provider. And at the same time, there are some regional or some compliance issues about, you know, data sovereignty, and you might need to have a redundancy in a different cloud providers, because we know that how highly available the cloud systems when you design correctly, but sometimes you need to also take some additional measures to make your systems up and running as much as you can. And sometimes every cloud provider becomes more expert in some certain areas of the cloud resources, and that is one of the biggest reasons they start to adopt additional cloud resources. The other big problem that I've seen about multi-cloud is, you know, you don't want to get into a vendor lock-in position with one single cloud provider. And with the help of Kubernetes, you can run multiple workloads in multiple cloud providers easily without, you know, you need to organize all your resources, deployment patterns. That's the reason I think most of the enterprises are adopting at least two cloud providers to go live in their production workloads.
Yes, that's right. Most of the organizations prefer to have, even though they are good to go with one particular cloud based on their applications or projects, they would still like to have some benefits from the other cloud provider, as you said, to avoid vendor lock-in and so many reasons. So in the realm of multi-cloud environments, Errol, cost management emerges as a critical issue, we all know. So could you elaborate a little bit on the specific challenges the organizations are facing when attempting to manage costs across the diverse cloud sure. platforms?
Yeah, sure. You know, let's define the first problem. The first problem is when you have a cloud control systems in a one single provider, you have enough native tools to see your dashboards, your cost reports. But if there is a cost problem that you want to solve, sometimes you need to go deep dive more technical aspects. You need to have at least some custom scripts and tools to define what is dragging my cost that high up. But when we come to the multi-cloud, everything has changed, because there is no unique interface that you can, you know, aggregate your costs in a single dashboard and see which workloads should be running in a specific cloud provider. You cannot make that decisions. You need to build systems customly, or you need to acquire a third-party software that can help you to elaborate that problem. That's the reason, you know, even the the professionals, they need to work, you know, FinOps engineers, FinOps consultants need to know multiple cloud aspects to provide good insights to their clients. And that is a really challenging spot because we don't ask a cloud solution architects, cloud engineers to become multi-faceted, but for FinOps side, you need to get lots of technical aspect from almost every cloud provider and some cloud services, SaaS services like certification provider, DDoS providers to have a good visibility of your overall cost in the cloud landscape.
All right, that's interesting. As you were discussing the cost management challenges, Erols, what do you think about centralized cost monitoring? Would that solve this issue?
You know, there is a big debate in every team I've been consulting. You know, I've worked with the Canadian and US enterprises a lot. Every enterprise is trying decentralization and centralization at the same time to find a good sweet spot for their next step about FinOps. The first thing is, if you have a powerful centralized FinOps team, that can escalate the problems to the respective teams. Centralization is good, you know, at least someone has a first priority job to monitor the spike in the cost and poke the related teams. But at the same time, when you decentralize, if your teams are not overloaded with taking care of the other priorities, it's a good to have, because at the same time, that team needs to fix that problem. The FinOps team is just become an advisor or literally a police that takes care of your costs and do not have full responsibility or full action capability to fix that problem. You know, pointing out a problem for a centralized system is good, but you need to decentralize at the same time when you are remediating the problems.
Understood. Yes, it's like a police who monitors and everybody stay connected. Nobody is staying out of the actual context of bringing FinOps into the organization, well said. So, Errol, cost optimization is not complete when we don't discuss on tagging, chargebacks, showbacks. Also, the cost-saving options provided by the cloud service providers themselves, like storage options, reserved instances, making use of the discounts. So do you see these effective still?
Yes, a lot. You know, cost monitoring is a proactive system and it is really hard to achieve a perfect situation, but we need to be always on top of that because a very minor technical change or a mistake can cost you a lot. A couple of years ago, I was helping a US startup in San Francisco, and we noticed while they were working on an infrastructure as code, they were omitting a problem they have been experiencing for a while. And when they noticed 15 days later, the cost jumped to $1 million. They spent the cost $1 million for literally nothing. A misconfiguration data. That's the reason when we are taking actions, FinOps is, you know, should be at least the second priority after the architectural decision. And sometimes you can find a better way to do a thing, a certain thing with a cheaper cost, or sometimes you do over-engineering, you know, select an excessive resource that you don't need. Or I have seen now currently working in a Canadian client, they are trying to provision all their infrastructure at the development stage and for ages, literally months, the systems are up and running and they're paying for nothing. But the reason for that is because it's a very low, steady company, slow company that a development team requests something. They want to get all the environments that they don't want to deal afterwards and, you know, wait another month to provision another environment. You know, if a company has a full automation, good cloud governance, you can reduce the cost a bit more effectively. Otherwise, some people decisions can make you to spend more than it should be. You know, while you are fixing something, there might be some another effect on the other side from the cost side.
Yeah, well said. So when there is a process in place, let it be consistent tagging or, as you said, a governance policy or something, it enables the organizations to accurately attribute the costs, allocate the expenses to specific departments or projects, and ultimately optimize their spending more effectively.
Absolutely.
So great. So, Errol, do you think, since you mentioned about it, do you think a governance policy is mandatory for the enterprises to make this cost optimization seamless?
Absolutely, absolutely. Because if you don't know how to fix a problem or report a problem that you are seeing in the cost side, security side, sometimes that things are, you know, just dragging on the floor. No one is taking responsibility. For example, if you notice something in the security side, a security vulnerability, the cybersecurity team will be guiding all the teams how to fix it. But it's a collective work. You know, application needs to be updated, infrastructure needs to be updated. Maybe you need to build more security controls to avoid that will occur again. Same for the FinOps. You know, the cost controls should be very tightly governed. For example, I have seen so many enterprises allowing everyone to provision whatever they want in any SKUs.
Yeah.
Maybe if you are not allowed to provision, you will save a lot. Or there are less automation when I see a cost increase, especially for the developer and lower environments, not the production. You know, if you give controls for everyone to go over the, you know, provision anything, whatever they want, people can make mistake or they can forget to leave that open for ages. There should be some garbage collection behind the scenes too. And this will happen with the some policies, some automation at the same time.
Humans are error prone. Yep. There should be governance, as you said.
So listeners, let's continue the discussion in part two. Till then, enjoy your cloud journey. Thank you.